Very good. Well, grasshoppers, it's time to put on your goggles, because today we're going to have some special, direct, awesome learning from my friend Leslie Rochelle. Leslie, I have no idea where we met. I am just so glad we did.
Through a friend, mutual friend, she said, "Hey, I think you need to meet RJ." And I said, "Let's do that." And we did. And we had a great conversation. And, you know, a couple of months later, here we are today. And I'm so grateful and thankful to you for providing me with this opportunity to have this conversation with you and your audience today.
Absolutely. My audience is absolutely going to love you and what you do. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, give us the business. What do you do? Who are you? Where do you live? Hat size, whatever you want to tell us.
Perfect. So my name is Leslie Rochelle, as RJ has mentioned, and I live near Montreal, Quebec. So I am a Canadian, and we moved here a little while ago, and in the whole French English thing is a little challenging for me at this point in time. So I get to increase that skill set for sure, which is really, really great. And I'm an intuitive leadership guide. So what I actually do is I help corporates, people in corporate, as well as the business owners and the entrepreneurs, really to tap in and develop that leadership for themselves, from personal leadership, because we are all leaders, into that professional type of leadership space. I come from like 15 years in the oil and gas industry, and I had the privilege of being the first visible female leader at our site location. So that was an interesting evolution for me at first. Sometimes being the only woman leader in the room was challenging at first, and I ended up honestly not knowing how to do it at the beginning, and it completely depleted me until I really had to kind of fall to my knees and just say something has to change here, and realize that it was me that needed to change. It was no external factor that needed to change. And once I finally realized that, I was able to create a team that nobody wanted to be on. I inherited a broken team into an absolute dream team that everybody loved being there, and people wanted to cross train with us as well too. It's the environment that we created as a team. I didn't do any of this myself. The catalyst, yes. However, it takes a village to create the team and the environment and the community that you're looking for.
Well, absolutely. It takes the efforts of many for sure. And I really relate. I relate to your story about being the only visible female, you know. I mean, so many times when I'm work, when I was, I know it's hard to believe, but I did work in corporate for a little while. And really the only women were in the customer service department. And like I was not, and that was, and there's nobody there to like teach you and go, okay, this is how you do leadership when there's not a lot of people that look like you in the vicinity.
That's right. Yeah, I worked for in a maintenance department, so like an operating facility for our planners and schedulers, who are amazing human beings. And you know, when I first came into that role, people didn't know how to take me either. So it was a learning process for all of us to really kind of figure that out. And once I did, then I went from just surviving to actually thriving and becoming that go-to. So I would have other managers, other leaders tapping me on the shoulder and saying, "Hey, can you help this person? Can you come and mentor this person?" I was asked to facilitate mentorship programs as well as our circles of influence. They asked me to pilot that as well. So when I finally got myself into that place of being comfortable, then I was able to help a lot more people that way as well too. So it was a really great experience for sure.
We had a conversation right before we popped on, and you said something in that conversation that I want to go back to because it was fascinating to me. And that was, you said, you've got to lead yourself first. What do you mean by that?
Well, there's I guess this kind of comes into that cause and effect, right? And when we can take the radical responsibility for our lives, good, bad, or otherwise, and really saying, okay, I'm here at this point, and this is all on me. I am here based off of all of the decisions that I have actually made, regardless of the circumstances or the things that have happened to me in the past. The other side of the coin, of course, is blaming everything and everyone for where you are. I can't do this because of this. I'm here because of this. Really what you're doing is you're giving your power away to that situation or that person continuously over and over and over again. So when it comes to leadership, we are always leading ourselves first. So can we count on ourselves? Are we stepping into that best version of ourselves? Are we helping other people become the best versions of themselves? And from that leadership, really from that leadership space, it is helping others to become the best version of themselves by you becoming the best version of yourself, which means you are actually taking that radical responsibility most of the time. Sometimes it's difficult, right? And really taking a look and saying, hey, you know what? I love my life. Good. Congratulations. That's on you. I don't like what's happening right now. Also on you, right? So it is sometimes that difficult, it is that difficult point of saying, okay, what is the lesson that I should be learning at this point in time? There's something here for me to learn. And sometimes when you're in it ends up being a little bit difficult to figure out what that is. Ultimately we can figure that out if we do the introspection for ourselves. And really get curious and ask ourselves some really great questions. So first and foremost, before you lead anyone or anything from your family to your corporation to your business, you are leading yourself first and foremost, always.
That's one of those things that you don't really think about. At least I haven't really thought about it, but it makes so much sense when you say it, because how you lead yourself will be how you lead others.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And you know, when you're leading other people, people are within your charge. You are not in charge of other people. And when you can create an amazing space and an environment that people feel seen, heard, valued, they have a sense of belonging, they're all working towards that same goal, they will always do more for you. By default, because they know you legitimately care about them as a human being, the welfare of them, right? So, you know, one thing that is, I think more corporations need to really take into account is their people are their most valuable assets, bar none. Nothing else compares to the people that are actually working for that company. So you treat them well, they will treat your business well.
Yeah. Because many people do not want to deal with the up and down roller coaster that is entrepreneurship. Many people would much, much rather have reliable stuff coming in, but also work at a place that they'd love to go.
That's right. There's so many people that quit their jobs, but remain working at the company. Right? People have actually quit. They're out. They're just going there and they're giving you the bare minimum. They're not giving you
quitting.
Yeah, their heart and soul aren't, you know, that quite quitting or whatever it's called. But yeah, they're there and they're doing only what they need to do in order to collect their paycheck, but they're not giving you their best because you are not giving them your best.
We will not get into tales of my corporate days because, almost the same stories as me in Catholic school also didn't work out very well. too many rules. But yeah, I mean, there are, my wife and I were just talking about this last night, you know, her work environment, and all of that, and just kind of discussing bosses and you know, different situations. Working when I work for someone that I know has my back, I'll do anything. I'll stay late. I'll come early. You know, I mean, I will do anything if I know that my contribution has worth
That's right.
The second that I believe that my contribution doesn't have worth, there's the back of my cape. I gotta go, baby.
Exactly. And there's so many people who have, I mean, when, you know, back in 2020, when our world kind of turned upside down, people really got a chance to reevaluate what they will accept in their lives and what they won't. And people decided, hey, you know what? I don't actually need this anymore. I would rather not work for you. So I'm going somewhere else, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Yes. And yeah, oh, well, the work world changed. I mean, dramatically. Now, I have been working from the bot cave here, also known as the second bedroom in my house. I've been working here for, you know, since 2015. So there wasn't much of a change for me. But most of the world, you know, it was that what's really important, in our lives. And what you continue to do, which I just love, is you go out there and work with people. And, you know, it's the same thing. What is important and valuable about what we're doing and the people that we serve? I'm a huge servant leadership person. I am not a leadership by mandate, authoritarianism of all kinds. You know, I can't even write on lined paper. All right. I just cannot do it. I know a lot of entrepreneurs are the same. But yeah, I really wanted to unpack that statement because it really feels like one of those foundational things. What got you into this? What got you into, I really want to work with leaders in this particular way?
It really comes back to helping that earlier version of myself. So I had kind of gone through that 2 years of, it was hard. I worked a 7 and 7 shift. So I worked 12 hours in a day and then come home and then have 7 days off. And I would need so much time to recover. I had my miracle little boy at the age of 42 and I had to send him to daycare because I just couldn't. Like for 2 days, I just had to kind of chill out and recover essentially is what I needed to do. And I said, I just can't keep doing this anymore. If I continue on this way, I'm either going to break myself or my family. So I needed to find a different way. And once I found that way, it just kind of naturally happened that people have been that person that people just come to and they want to have conversations with, and they want to help. They want some support and things like that. I think it's my nurturing nature that I have. And I really came to the point of, you know what, leadership needs to change. We're evolving past the current, I guess, ideas and ideals of what people consider leadership to be. And to me, I really feel that leadership is neither a title nor a position. It really is a way of being. And you will find way more leaders by leading by influence than you will find leaders by leading an organization or people in any way. So I guess it just really ended up being a passion of mine to be able to help other people who are maybe stuck in what they're doing and finding a better way to be able to create their own dream teams and to be able to really step in and step out into a different, I guess, into a different leadership realm.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I mean, we talked about that. What is the definition? You know, again, in my corporate days, I was told over and over again, we won't be promoting you to the head of that department because you just don't have the leadership qualities. And I believed that statement because here's my boss is saying it. But as I, you know, and I'm not in a corporate situation anymore. I don't lead a team, but I do work with clients and I lead a tribe of humans. You know, what you've been saying has really inspired me to think beyond, well, that was that company and that person at that time who really didn't know me very well.
That's right. There are so many organizations that promote somebody because they're really good at their job. They're terrible with people. They have promoted the wrong person, right? When you're looking for a leadership position, I came into a leadership position and I declined when they asked me to take the position because I said, well, I'm neither a planner nor a scheduler from that professional aspect. I said, so I can't sit in their seat when they're gone. And they said, this is not what we want you to do. We want you to lead the people. You have the skills to lead the people. We want you to lead the people. And it took some time because that was very different from what they had previously done. They would take somebody who's really good at being the planner or the scheduler and put them into the leadership position. So there was a little bit of backlash. I've got some interesting questions kind of asked my way. And some people who, I guess, had their knickers a little bit in a knot. And so there were some really hard conversations that we had to have after the fact. So, and when you can get somebody, you don't have to be a subject matter expert. You have to have them on your team, right? You need to know who to go to, but you don't need to be an accounting expert to be able to lead the accounting group of people. That makes sense. Yeah.
Well, no, it totally makes sense. And you know, I mean, it might go without saying for most people, but we'll say it anyway, that it's not the subject matter, it's the people that you need to understand and relate to and know, you know, what motivates them, what, you know, makes them frustrated, all the things, right?
Yeah. More when people leave a company, they're usually leaving the leader. They're not actually leaving their job. They're leaving the leader. Like, I feel like I'm micromanaged. I feel like I'm not being heard. They don't value my ideas. I don't feel like this is a place that I actually belong. And that's all to do with the leader.
Yeah.
The leader creates the environment for sharing and for growth and for collaboration. And that's one of the reasons I love the book Leaders Eat Last by Simon Sinek. And that's really the concept of sometimes when you're asking for input and advice and things like that from other people, never say what your thing is first, what your idea is first. Always ask your team for it because you may have changed your mind 4 times and it really opens it up to more conversations and a greater conversation when you hold back. Ask them to present first or to collaborate first, present their ideas. Even the shy, quiet ones, you got to get them to provide that input as well. And then you can actually come up at the end and go, oh, you know what? I never thought of that. However, sometimes when you speak first, you cut off. People are like, okay, yeah, that's good because you're the boss. You should probably know all the answers. And that's just not the case.
Well, and you know, I often those ideas are so applicable in that environment that you're in. But as I listen to you, I can recognize that the same ideas are applicable to me. I have a coach, mm-hmm. I have a tribe, mm-hmm. and giving that tribe plenty of voice. You know, a lot of people think, you know, in the traditional like marketing sense, they're thinking, oh, I got to get people in a community because then I can keep them warm and invite them to events and sell to them. You know what I mean? Like, the end goal of everything, transaction. That may work for some people. It don't work for this one. That is not how I want to live my life. And these ideas of leaders eat last, hey, mm-hmm. what are your ideas? You know, can you have some influence in this tribe? Am I the only person, you know, that thinks that I have influence here? I want to belong to a group where we're influencing each other.
That's right. Where you can have dialogue, really, that goes through, because sometimes it's a matter of do you create an environment that allows that back and forth? Right? Can you have those hard conversations back and forth? Can you have can your perspective actually be shifted based off of what somebody else is saying? Are you hard set in your ways, which is never a good thing because it will really limit your growth in all areas of your life. So yeah.
What an incredibly valuable idea, because, you know, I mean, we were talking before, I've just never seen myself as that. I do not wear a tie. I am, you know, I'm not a dude. I don't have a huge team at my disposal. I mean, there's an image, you know, in our heads, or at least in my head, of what a professional is and what a team leader is. But holy moly, we've got teams we can lead now.
We have our families that we can lead. We have our communities that we can lead. We have our organizations that we can lead. We have our volunteer groups that we can lead. We have our friends groups that we can actually help lead as well too. So it's not like it's a formal type of environment that you have to be in to consider yourselves a leader. One of the things that I guess breaks my heart a little bit is that there are so many entrepreneurs and business owners who may be that, you know, team of one that don't consider themselves leaders. And you were leading your business. You were absolutely a leader, right? When you think about the hierarchy of your business, you're the CEO. You're probably also the social media manager. You are the content creator. You are the copywriter. You are the bookkeeper. You are this, that, and the other thing. So when you kind of take a look at all of the organizational chart that you have, you are playing a lot of different roles. So it's really... you know, you have to be able to look at it from that standpoint of the leader. So your CEO, the founder of your business, where are my money-making activities and where should I be spending the most of my time, right? And then when you get comfortable enough, then you hire that first box, right? Identify what's going to help you the best at the, you know, at this point in time, and then really hire to that and hire somebody who's way better than you are, because you're going to be kind of like that jack of all trades where somebody is going to specialize in their area. That's who you need to be able to hire on.
Yeah. First and foremost. I gotta have the specialists, you know. Oh. I gotta have those people who, and it was hard at first to hire people that are smarter than me at anything, because I've got to control everything. Oh my gosh.
It's your ego. It's just your ego. Yeah.
And mine is pretty big. So
yeah,
I gotta tamp that down sometimes. But yeah, I mean, maybe there are some management capabilities that don't come to me. I'm all the inspire type. I'm not the, did you get that done? I'm not good at that. You know?
Well, consider this though, is that you can be a manager, you can be a supervisor. Leadership is in a class all its own. So that is the inspiration piece. Here is, you know, the vision of the company that we actually have. Here's where we're going to take the team. Here's the environment that we've created to remove all the stumbling blocks and all of the challenging situations. We're going to be that gatekeeper for all the stuff that comes our way, so our team doesn't get that, right? So we're going to be that stop goaltender. That's right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sporty. They're going to be like that goaltender that's actually going to be able to take most of those hits, so you can take that away from your team and let them do what they are brilliant at and allow them to do that. So when you're hiring somebody, it is, can I consider them my strategic partner? Am I just going to say, hey, can you please do this? Or are they going to say, oh, by the way, did you think about this? That's who I want on my team. I don't just want someone to just, because I don't know all the things. They know more than I do. So I want to say, what do you think about this? And I want them to not just say, yeah, yeah, that's great. I want them to say, good. However, let's take a look at this as well. Oh, okay, great. I never thought about that. So it's really being open to it as well. The leader, the manager, the supervisor will never know everything. That's not their job. Their job really is to be able to help the people within their charge become the best versions of themselves, so that they will always perform better when that happens.
Yeah. Beautiful. It's like for me, my brain immediately says it's like the Star Trek Enterprise, you know. I'm a Picard person. I'm not a Shatner girl.
Jean-Luc Picard.
Yes. I'm a Frenchman with an English accent. Don't question it. Yes. Love that guy. And I loved his style, you know, of leadership, which was get everybody thinking. Because all of those brains are way greater than this one.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What's your vision of your company in the years to come, my friend?
I envision doing more, I guess, doing more speaking events, because it's something that I really love to do, is having great conversations. Somebody asked me the other day and they said, what are your top three values? And I said, faith, family, and open and transparent conversations. So being able to do more of that, maybe my own podcast as well too. I think that would be really, really great. Doing some writing and things like that as well too. So really it's interesting because where I am right now is not where I'm going to be in a year from now, right? And allowing myself that growth opportunity in the meantime. And being open to how it's going to happen and not controlling the how it's going to happen. Because you limit yourself when you try to control all those things in your life. You know, I put it out there and everything is always working out for my best interest, whether I like it or not. So every challenge I have, any obstacle that I come across, I know that it's there for a reason. And it'll make me smarter, better at something else, more resilient in certain areas. And then I get to grow and then get the next one, the next one, the next one. When we, as leaders, as entrepreneurs and business owners say, yes, I want to do this, it is the sign to the universe to say, okay, I'm going to give you some challenges to allow you to grow so you can actually have a bigger business than you ever thought that you possibly could. And so once you say yes to the universe, look out for some challenges coming your way.
Yeah.
Take them one at a time.
One at a time. Absolutely. Well, so Miss Leslie, how can people get a hold of you? Tell me.
The best way is to just head over to my website and use my contact form. I'm also on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook as well. But the best way, if you want to reach out and just use the contact form on my website, and I would be happy to have a conversation with you.
Beautiful. And what's that website name if people are listening to this podcast in their car?
Certainly. It is LeslieRochelle.com.
LeslieRochelle.com.
Nice and simple.
Just exactly like it sounds.
That's right.
You know, gosh, if you want to talk more with somebody about leadership, I don't know a better expert to point you to, and take advantage of this person's knowledge. If you want to have a conversation, don't be afraid. Reach out there and get that piece of knowledge that you need. Hit up LeslieRochelle.com, hit up contact form, and take advantage of our friend's kindness in offering that up to you. Well, last question, and then we'll close it out. And this is my futuristic brain going, but leadership, how do you see it changing because of AI and some other tools we've never had before?
I think leadership is in need of a change. I think leadership is in need of a massive turnover and different perspective as to what is actually happening at this point in time as well. We need better leaders within our communities, within our governments, within our countries as well too, and to have them more focused on what is in the best interest of the constituents or the people versus what is in my best interest as the person that's actually heading that up. So when it comes to AI is going to be able to do a lot of things for you. I use it. I like to use it for, idea generation and things like that as well too. However, people want that personal touch. They want somebody who can actually have empathy you know, have those empathetic conversations, and they're really wanting that connection. So I think the more and more we start using AI, because it can, I mean, it can do all your copywriting and can do so many things, create you beautiful images, et cetera, et cetera. However, people are going to now start craving that human touch to be able to create that, I guess, the synergies between you and that other person. Because it's nice to ask AI questions. However, it's nice to have a living, breathing soul, right? Human being in the soul on the other end, being able to really create that connection. Because I think people more and more these days are craving the connection with others. You will never get that from AI, ever.
Truth. That's absolute truth. And from somebody who, like, that's part of, you know, that's part of my business. Absolutely true. AI cannot, it will not have a relationship with you. It does not understand the concept.
It doesn't have a soul.
It doesn't have a soul. It doesn't have emotions. It doesn't have all of the things that make us a, you know, a big bunch of greatness. We are always going to need each other. And I think that we need each other and empathy more now than ever.
More now than ever. Yes, absolutely.
Well, I want to thank you for coming and talking to my people. Because this is, you know, this is what it's all about, exploring other people, what they do, how they view the world, and really, really relating on a deep level. And so I just want to say it's been an honor having you today.
I am so grateful and thankful to you for giving me this opportunity, for having this platform so that you can bring your own voice and other people's voices to the forefront, because there's something that, you know, somebody is going to resonate to differently than somebody else is. So having a variety of voices and opinions and perspectives and topics and things like that, I think is really incredibly important. So kudos to you for the platform that you and how you're using it to be able to make this world a better place.
Beautiful. All right, my friends. Well, that's it for us today. We are going to go and do other things. But until I see you again next week, same bot time, same bot channel. You know what I'm saying. Until I see you next week, take care of yourself, take care of each other, and I'll see you in a bot.